Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath, and greetings to those of you on the webcast. Mr. Mooneyham and I may cross paths in our messages, but hopefully everyone will gain something profitable. In the mid-1980s, I transferred to a different area of the company or a different department of the company that I worked for. In that particular department, there was a gentleman who was known for making insensitive remarks and insensitive racial remarks. And these remarks were taken as offensive to those who were people of color. And they looked upon this gentleman as a racist and a very prejudiced individual. But I, because of being in the church and understanding the workings of human beings without God's Spirit, it wasn't a big problem for me. But this individual, over the years, over the next 20-plus years I worked with him, he meddled some. He wasn't so insensitive about other people's feelings. At times, it was a way for him to open up to people, to carry on a conversation with strangers. He could say something to anybody and start a conversation, but he wasn't careful how he worded his words. And after his retirement from the company, I was very saddened by his death, but during the intervening period of time, he would often call me and we would talk about the past on the job, and talk about sports. We would talk about his family, and he would ask questions about my family. And he was an individual that, during the period of time I knew him, would not stab you in the back. He was the same today as he would be tomorrow. He wasn't one thing today and something different the next day. But we had developed a close relationship over the years, and he was a man that I learned a lot of Spanish words from and a lot of other Spanish phrases, and I had to be careful because some of those words weren't kosher. But Ricardo was, as they say in Espanol, mi amigo, my friend. But during this period of time, we, despite our differences, we found common ground. God has put us on this earth to have a relationship with Him and a relationship with each other, despite our racial backgrounds or our other differences. My purpose this afternoon is to show how we can build a closer relationship with God. Relationship is defined as the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or a state of being connected. God is invisible to us, human beings. He can become reliable, trusted, and a loving reality in our lives. King David described his experience of God's greatness and nearness to us in Psalms 139, verses 7 through 14. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 14. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Verse 8. If I ascend unto heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, verse 10, even there your hand will lead me. Verse 11. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Verse 12. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. And verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. David was inspired by God's omnipresence and his all-knowing. Quoting from Matthew Henry's commentary on Psalms 139, verse 7, if God is omnipresent, he must need to be all-knowing. This supposed the infinite and the vastness of his being, which follows the ubiquity of his presence. Heaven and earth includes the whole creation, and the Creator fills them both. He not only knows both and governs both, he fills both. I'd like to add on what to Mr. Mooningham said about the scientists know about the working of the mind. You know about the working of the human body. For example, if I take a trip from here to Columbia, South Carolina, I have three choices. I can go with I-75 to I-20, or I can take 301, or I can take I-95. No animal created on Earth can make that choice and decide which route to be easiest. Every part of the creation is under God's intuition and influence. David here acknowledged this also with application and sees himself thus open to God. When people are not close to God, they like to think it, whatever it is that it is God's fault. Not true. Continuing on with the commentary, he is available. He's always available to you or to you and I if we seek him with all our heart. We're in reference to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. I'll be referencing material from a study guide from United Church of God website, the memo website, titled Building a Close Relationship with God. The first point I have is, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The Psalm, in the book of Psalms, chapter 73, verse 28, states that it's good for me to draw near to God. And hopefully all of us are learning how to be good at that. A relationship with God begins when he calls us or draws us to him. As all of us know in John 6:44, that no man can come to me unless the Father sent him. No man can come to Jesus Christ. In a sermon given by Mr. Mark Mickelson a few weeks ago, titled God the Father, he stated that God the Father and Jesus Christ are involved in our lives daily. He stated that the world puts emphasis on Jesus Christ, whereas it should be on God the Father and along with Jesus Christ. One of the scriptures he referenced is John 17, verse 20 to 25. And certainly it is a message that we all can identify with. John 17, verse 20 through 25. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 25. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, and I have given them, and that they may be one just as we are one. Verse 23. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that you may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, knowing that you have sent me. After God calls us, he expects us from then on to exercise the initiative in seeking to draw closer to him. If we do, we have the encouraging promise, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The promise of the resurrection to life after death becomes a primary motivator. It is that better hope that is so missing in our world today, which will draw us closer to God. A second point is the value or the importance of reading and studying the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 through 17, are some points to help us to be motivated to study God's Word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 through 17. Verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them. Verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Reading some quotes from Barnes' notes on the Bible on verse 16, being thoroughly furnished into all good works. The Greek means to bring to an end, to make complete. The idea is that whatever good work the man of God desires to perform, or however perfect he aims to be, he will find no deficiency in the Scriptures, but will find there the most ample instruction that he needs in his daily life. He can never advance so far as to become forsaken of his God. He can never make progress as to have gone in advance of the volume of revealed truth, and to be thrown upon his own resources in a region which was not thought of by the author of the Bible. Continuing on, no new phase of human affairs can appear in which it will not direct him to new plans of benevolence can be started, for which he will not find principles there to be guided by. Continue on from Barnes' notes on the Bible. The Bible is more valuable than all the rest of the books in the world combined. It is priceless. It is the Creator's revelation of his creation regarding his plan, how we should live our lives and fulfill our purpose to obtain by far the best results. The Bible is God's word, God speaking to each of us. We must listen and listen carefully. In Joshua 1 and verse 8, Joshua 1 verse 8 is some more instruction about studying and reading. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. I'll be reading from the God Word Translation. Never stop reciting these teachings, You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed. Let's turn back to 1 Timothy 4 and we read verse 13 and 15, where Paul is giving Timothy some additional instruction. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13 and 15. Verse 13 of 1 Timothy 4. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Meditate on these things is important. It is important not to rush when you're reading the Bible. We should take the time to really think about what we are reading. And, of course, if you take the time, you get more out of the Bible. Also, meditate and reflect deeply on the meaning of the Scriptures and their application to our lives. Meditating on God's law helps to write them on our heart. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, and verse 16, give some points to help us, all of us, deal with adversities, difficulties, or challenges in our everyday life. Psalm 119, and verse 9 through 11. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. Verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And we skip over to verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The next point is, we may ask, can we talk to God at any time and know that he hears us? Some think that you have to approach God with a certain type of name. And anyone that has any questions about name of God, the uses of the name of God, should tune in to Mr. Jim Tuck's sermon on the Oakland, California website. He goes into all of the names that some people like to use to identify God, and he goes through all the background and shows that why that no one knows the real name other than what's explained in God's word. In 1 John 5 verse 14 through 15, let's turn there. 1 John 5 verse 14 through 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Life Application Study Bible comments on verse 14 and 15. The emphasis here is on God's will, not our will. When we communicate with God, we don't demand what we want, rather we discuss with Him what He wants for us. If we align our prayers to His, will He listen? John chapter 16, let's turn over there. Some more instruction on talking to God. John 16, verse 23. John 16 and verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give to you. Sincere prayer is a powerful force, because the Creator of all the universe loves to hear prayers and loves to answer them. The Bible has many scriptures that exhort us to pray, and many that gives pointers on how to pray. God expects us to maintain a daily two-way communication with Him by reading His Word and by talking to Him in prayer. And the more we pray, the more natural it will be for us to pray. The Bible compares the prayers of the saints with sweet-smelling incense because they please God. Here are some quotes about God. Remember this: when people choose to withdraw far from the fire, from a fire, the fire continues to give warmth, but they grow cold. When people choose to withdraw far from the light continues to be bright in itself, but they are in darkness. This is also the case when people withdraw from God. Another quote: some stand on the tiptoe trying to reach God to talk. You try too hard, friend. Drop to your knees and listen. He'll hear you better that way. Some people talk about finding God as if He gets lost. Author unknown. Peace on the outside comes from knowing God on the inside. Author unknown. The next point is spiritual fasting helps draw us closer to God. Example in Ezra 8, verse 21 and 23, an example of a fast, Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Then I proclaim a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Verse 23. So we fast and entreat our God for this, and He answered our prayers. In Matthew 6 and verse 17 and 18, it instructs us how we should fast. Matthew 6, verse 17 and 18. Matthew 6, verse 17 and 18. But when you fast, verse 17, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret, sees in secret, and rewards you openly. Among the spiritual tools for drawing closer to God, fasting is a real power. Fasting is valuable when we are faced with big problems and we urgently need God's help. Even when we aren't faced with big problems, we should fast occasionally, providing health will permit it, as a special form of worship and to draw closer to God. When you sincerely fast, God is pleased and will help you grow spiritually. Another point is, in drawing closer to God, that we must avoid bad influences. 1 Corinthians 15:33 warns us, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." In this life, we are constantly faced with choices. We often must choose between exposing ourselves to bad influences or surrounding ourselves with good influences. God is very displeased when we choose evil that will lead towards evil. The mind is like a sponge. It will soak up whatever you expose it to, whether good or evil. And what goes in stays in to a great extent. We can use a computer as an example. The output of a computer depends upon the input. Garbage in, garbage out. God knows all our thoughts, all the time. We shouldn't allow experiences and thoughts in our mind and the busyness of life to interfere with our relationship with God. And when that interferes with that relationship, we will be ashamed of in the future when we face God. We cannot serve, we are warned, we can't serve two masters. It's like working two jobs, the same job at the same time. That's impossible. So we can't serve God and the world and allow the busyness of the world to zap up all our strength and energy. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10, is a warning about letting the busyness and the richness of the world get us in a bind. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Verse 10. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Money is not an evil, but the love of money is a major root of evil. So yes, materialism and a super busy life interfere with our relationship, and especially our relationship with God. They can choke to death our spiritual life, like weeds choke to death the life of a garden plant. I used the example this morning in St. Petersburg about chopping cotton or hoeing cotton. If you don't take the weeds out, the grass and everything will choke the cotton plants out. So it is with the world entrenching upon us. If we allow the richness of the world to use up our time, it will cut off our relationship with God. When money and things become overly important to us, they are becoming our gods, which means we are breaking the first of the Ten Commandments by putting those things over God. The next point is avoiding satanic and demonic influence, which are a very dangerous thing. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5, verse 8 through 9. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 through 9. First Peter 5, verse 8 through 9. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced in your brotherhood in the world. As we read in Revelation 12:9, Satan deceives the whole world. So even followers or those of us who are following Christ or are part of his body can be deceived by Satan and his demons. When we are continually on our guard, we can avoid that. Satan hates all people, but he especially wants to deceive and destroy anyone trying to obey God. We attract Satan and the demons and become vulnerable to them if we are sinning, dabbling in spiritism or the occult, or letting down spiritually in some other way. When we walk in the way of the devil, he or she is alienating him or herself from God. The next point is the most powerful way to stay close to God. A scripture that we all are familiar with, Acts 2 and verse 38, shows us a way to stay in contact with God. Another way, Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is the most important gift that for all of us as baptized members of God's church. And we are warned not to quench it in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. Life Application Study Bible comments on 1 Thessalonians 5:19. By warning us not to quench the Spirit, Paul means that we should not ignore or toss aside the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives us. And in Romans 8 and verse 6 through 9, Mr. Mooneyham read part of this earlier, it shows us the importance of being spiritually minded, being connected to God. Romans 8, verse 6 through 9. Romans 8, verse 6 through 9. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. How is it possible for a mortal human being to have an intimate and ongoing relationship with the divine God? Many aspects of this our human minds cannot comprehend, but we have to rely on God to see us through whatever challenges, whatever difficulties we face, and to draw us closer to Him. The most important key, again, is God's gift of His Spirit to dwell in one's heart and mind. God's Spirit works to transform the human nature to a godly nature, the mind of Christ. So instead of being inclined to selfishness and sin, we become inclined towards love and godliness. Let's turn over to Philippians 2 and reread verse 1 through 5. Another scripture that we are familiar with, Philippians 2, verse 1 through 5. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 5. Verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. Verse 4. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also the interests of others. And verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. God desires a close relationship with everyone. In fact, he wants all people to eventually be his sons and daughters. A reference to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. In conclusion, you have seen 7 ways to have a closer relationship with God. Number 1, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Number 2, read and study the Bible. Number 3, talk to God at any time and know that he hears us. Number 3, spiritual fasting helps in having a close relationship with God. Number 5, stay away from bad influences. And number 6, avoid the influences of Satan and his demons. And number 7, the gift of God's Spirit is a powerful way to maintain a close relationship with God.